All right, over 12 countries across the world are reporting an explosion of cancerous tumors in young people. I want to talk about that today and talk about the importance of why we need to remember the covenant that we have as believers in the Lord and why I believe He is still Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Let's talk about it today.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everybody? This is End Time Headlines. I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. It is Tuesday, March the 19th, and we want to welcome everybody to the program. I want to welcome everybody that's listening by Apple or by Spotify, and of course, you guys that are watching, listening by Rumble and by YouTube. Listen, if you're new to the program, first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and let us know where you guys are joining us from. And for everyone that may be new or you have not picked up our free app yet, we want to remind you that you can pick that up today for absolutely free. Again, if you're listening by Apple or by Spotify or wherever you get your podcast, just go to your Play Store, depending on what that looks like for you. Go to your Apple, go to your Android store. Look for, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official trademarked ETH logo, and then you're going to download the app and hit yes to push notifications, and you guys are going to be good and squared away. If you guys are watching this broadcast, the visual of this, again, if you go to the description of this video, there's a link that says download our free app. You can pick up our app today right there in that section. Before we get started, of course, guys, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. This is going to help push our material out there so others can see and also be blessed by our messages as well as you are. So we're going to talk about some interesting stuff today. I want to show you the importance. I believe if there was ever a time, guys, that we need to be to have a full revelation of the covenant of healing that the Lord made, you can find this in the book of Exodus. I'm going to pull this up in Exodus 15. The children of Israel became acquainted with God as not only their Jehovah Jireh, their provider, but they became quickly accustomed to him and acquainted with him rather as Jehovah Rapha, their Lord, the Lord, their healer. Now, you may say, well, that was the children of Israel. That is not us. Guys, we have better promises. We are under a better covenant. We're under the covenant of Jesus. If the children of Israel, who was under the old covenant and not under the better covenant, not under the new covenant, not under Jesus Christ, if they had a covenant with God and they had a relationship with him as God, as their Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, their healer, how much more is he not today for us? Now you say, well, why are you talking about this today? Because listen, guys, we're in an era and a time in 2024 where things are getting very weird, very strange, very bizarre, and very alarming. I'm going to show you some reports today that this is not to scare you. It is not to bring fear into your hearts, but it's to awaken you and to remind you that we as, come on, believers have a covenant with God. He is our, not only is he our provider, not only is he our Lord, our Messiah, our Savior, our Redeemer. Come on, somebody. He's not only our deliverer, but he is our healer. When you go to the book of Exodus 15, you see where God has led by the hand of Moses, Yahweh, Elohim has led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage through the wilderness. He led them by a cloud by day and a fire by night. He performed miraculous miracles. And then we get, and you get to Exodus 14, God divides the sea. He splits the Red Sea, allows the children of Israel to cross over and swallows up Pharaoh's armies. And then we go to Exodus 15. So this inspires Moses and the children of Israel to sing a song unto the Lord. And they're rejoicing and they're celebrating the deliverance of God and his hand upon their lives. And then you scroll down. Again, this is in Exodus 15, 22 now. And it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So here they are. God, again, they're delivered out of Egypt. They're taken through this part of the wilderness. Then the Red Sea is parted. Now they're entering into another part here where they find no water. And in verse 23, now when they came to Marah, which, in by the way, Marah is bitter in Hebrew. They could not drink the waters of Marah because they were bitter. That's why they were called Marah. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, quote, what should we drink? So he cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statue. Oh, come on, here it is. There he made a statue and an ordinance for them. So there was a statue and there was an ordinance. And there he tested them. This is where God brought them through this test. He's testing them. Why is he testing them? Because he wants to see if they, come on, if they remember that he was the same God that delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. He was the same God that led them, come on, with, he led them with, there was no feeble one among them. They came out and with the silver and gold. He brought them by a fire by night, a cloud by day, all these miracles. But yet, as they progressed, it's almost like they forget the hand of God upon their life. Now look, before we jump down Israel's throat, and before we condemn them, and we have something to say about them, I want to ask you something today. How many of us are guilty of this very same thing? God delivers us out of this. He brings us out of that. He saves us from this. He brings provision for that. He brings an answer of prayer to that. And we rejoice and we celebrate. We praise God. We testify. Come on, somebody. And then, come on, a month later, we all of a sudden, all the new wears off. The excitement wears off. Then we go to another trial. We go into another affliction. We go into another bondage. We go into another addiction. We go into another cycle. We go into another unforeseen event. And it's amazing how quickly we forget the hand of the Lord who brought us out of that one test and that one trial and that one thing that we went through. Oh, and we think that he was not big enough, or that he's surely not big enough to bring us out of this next thing, even though he brought us out of everything that he brought us out of. All the word of God says this: many are the afflictions of the righteous, but come on, somebody talk to me. But the Lord, he delivers us out of what? Some? No, he delivers us out of them all. So here we are, Exodus 15. Look, I know some of y'all are like, how in the world does this preacher get to a podcast where he's going to talk about a mysterious outbreak of cancers afflicting people across 12 nations or 12 countries, and then and get into this kind of a message? Because this is how, listen, we let the Holy Spirit move in these broadcasts. He gives me a foundation in which to work with, but then I let him, come on, as the master builder, just take the, come on, hammer and take the nails and just build whatever he wants to build in these broadcasts. And that's what I feel like he's doing today. So here we are. Now they're in another predicament. There's no water. There's nothing to drink. So Moses intercedes for them. He makes a statue. He makes an ordinance. And he says to them, and I want to bring this up, listen to me and listen to me very carefully. I advise everyone, there is no wrong, no harm in doing this, and it's going to be for your own benefit to do this. I want you to, if you have a Bible that's physical paper, I want you to highlight this entire passage that I'm about to read to you. You guys on Apple by Spotify, listen to me. Write this down, take notes on this. Print this out, make this a sticky note, put it on your mirror, put it on your stove, put it on your refrigerator, Put it in your Bible, bookmark it, memorize this, quote this, stand on this, and decree this over your family. Come on. Exodus 15:26. Here is the statue that Moses received from the Lord to tell the children of Israel. And here it is. Ready? And said, quote, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now, guys, this is deep. First of all, notice that the Lord didn't say here, I will put none of the diseases on you which Satan brought upon you or brought upon the Egyptians. He says, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Stop. Now, look, I know some preachers out there will try to tell you, and guys, when I was a baby Christian, I bought this hook, line, and sinker as well until I started doing my own research. But some of them teach that every sickness and every disease is from the devil, and God has nothing at all to do with that. Well, that sounds real spiritual, and that sounds amazing, but that's only partially true. I can show you in script. Now, listen, you got to have to let me build. I can't make a statement like that and you expect me to shotgun this thing out in 30 seconds. You're going to have to give me some time to build this. We're going to get to the article. We're going to get to the reports, and you're going to understand why I did all this before I got to that, because I've got to build up your faith to receive the prayer at the end of this report. Because if I just give you the bad news and not build this foundation and not exhort you, not edify you, then I have failed as one who's trying to communicate the gospel to you in order for you to receive it. Come on, I'm breaking up the ground for the seed to take root. So in your Bible, you will discover that when the hand of the favor of the Lord is upon something, it will be called the blessing of the Lord or the favor of God. But when God lifts his hand off of something and removes it, whether it's a nation, whether it's an individual, then it allows the enemy to come in and to penetrate that thing, penetrate that family, penetrate that marriage, penetrate your health, penetrate your finances, or whatever the case would be. Such is the case that we discover in the book of Job. You'll read the book of Job and you'll discover that God himself put a hedge around Job. The hedge was around his finances. It was around his family. It was around his children. It was around his marriage. It was around his health. There was a hedge around everything that he had. In fact, if you read Job chapter 1, there's an entire dialogue where Satan is standing before the throne room of God and he's desiring to attack Job. And he's telling God to his face that if you allow me to touch Job and hit him here and hit him there and hit him here, then he will surely curse you to your face. But God, who knew Job better than anybody else and definitely better than Satan did, understood that Job was not that kind of a man. And he told Satan, go ahead and do what you will, but he gave him boundaries. He said, you can touch Job in this area and that area and this area, but you can't take his life. So your Bible says that Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and he struck Job in areas of Job's life. He struck him in his finances. He struck him in his possessions. He struck his children. He hit him in his marriage. He struck him in his flesh. Job, the Bible says that Job was standing over a bucket or a pot and he was scraping boils off, and his own wife was telling Job to curse God and die. So Job, in all essence, guys, it appears that Job lost everything, but he held to his confidence in God. He never cursed God with his mouth. He cursed his own flesh. He cursed the day that he was born, but he never cursed God. Thus, Satan failed in the end, because in the end, God restored everything that Job lost. The point I'm trying to make is, notice how Satan had to be granted permission to do certain things to Job's life. Friends, it is the same today. I can show you in the New Testament where Jesus was speaking to Peter, and he tells Peter, "Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith would fail not." Notice that, oh, this is so good, guys. Come on, y'all need to take notes on this. Notice that Jesus didn't tell Peter, "I have prayed him away. I prayed a hedge about you. I've sent angels to protect you. I prayed that he would never be able to touch you at all." Jesus never said that. He never said that. He said, "I pray that your faith fails you not." In other words, let me translate this for you. Peter, Satan has come to me and desired to sift you as wheat, and I'm going to allow him to shake you up to a certain degree and to a certain limitation, because I know that there's something on the inside of you. Even though it may look like it's real bad and that you're about to throw in the towel and that you're about to give up and that you're about to just say, call it quits, and you'll even deny me three times. Even when I'm trying to tell you this, you don't receive that. And you'll say, "No, I'll never do that," but it's going to happen. But in the end, you're going to repent. You're going to come back. I'm going to restore you back into the faith, and you're going to become a pillar in the New Testament church. Come on, I'm talking to somebody today. I'm trying to say here today, let me go back to Exodus 15. Y'all think I went way over here on left field and that I completely lost this message. No. I'm back in Exodus 15. God said, "Give ear to my commandments and keep my statutes, and I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." When you read this in the original Hebrew, what he's saying is, here's what he says. If you obey my word, keep my commandments, I will permit none of the diseases to come upon you, which I permitted to come upon the Egyptians. It was never God's intent nor his will for him to strike sickness, infirmities, afflictions, and diseases upon anybody. But listen to me, through the hardness of our hearts, through sin, through corruption, through the moral decay of humanity, it opens a door for the enemy to come right into our lives. Well, Brother Ricky, are you saying that God himself can afflict people with diseases? Yes. Or go read in the book of Acts, when one of the Herods, because there was many of them, one of the Herods was, there was a day when there was a great celebration, and he stood up in all of his pride, and he began to receive glory to himself, and he exalted himself like an angel. And the Bible says that God himself sent an angel of the Lord to smite him with an infirmity, and it killed him. It was disease. Go read. Oh, come on. Y'all don't want to keep me going on this, do you? I can show you where Peter met an individual in the book of Acts, and Peter saw in the spirit, he had a word of knowledge and discerning of spirits. And he looked at a man, and he told the man that he was full of greed, and he was vile, and darkness was in him. And because he tried to blaspheme the Lord, he tried to purchase, come on, the power of the Holy Ghost with money. Peter, come on, through the Holy Spirit, struck him with blindness. That's in your Bible. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost, and they dropped dead and was carried out by men. That's in the Bible. So listen to, I know there's this hyper grace gospel out here that tells you that God would never do such a thing. God never judges. God never condemns. God never rebukes. God never corrects. And listen to me, That is all hogwash, and it's a one-sided false gospel. Yes, God is love. Yes, God is compassion. Yes, God is long-suffering and wills that none perish and all come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yes, he is slow to anger, and he is quick to forgive. But at the same time, this same Jesus that you call a humble servant and a loving Savior, I can show you in the book of Revelation where he's coming back, come on, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he has hair like wool, eyes like fire, his feet are like brass, and he's coming to judge with a rod of iron, and he will destroy the armies of the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. Come on, I'm going to keep preaching it the way the Bible tells us to read it and to comprehend it. So listen, I come by to tell you today that, listen, we've come to a time, friend, where you're going to have to make a decision. Who is your faith in? Now we're talking about health today, our physical health. Is your faith in a drug? Is your faith in the pharmaceutical industry? Is your faith in a doctor? Is it in a physician? Is it in the medical industry? Is it in the CDC? Is it in the government? Is it in the World Health Organization? Listen, do I got any old timers listening in the chat group on YouTube, listening on Rumble, listening on Apple, listening on Spotify? Do I have any old timers that knows what I'm talking about when I say, listen, they came to a time when they didn't have the advancement in modern medicine like we've got today and the luxury that we have today. They came out of a time when they literally had to rely on the Lord, their healer. They had to rely on, and you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Come on, they believed in laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. They believed in the book of James, chapter 5, where it says, if there be any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and pray the prayer of faith over them. Come on, I want to just talk to a few people that remembers church like that. Now, why am I saying that? Because I believe everything goes full circle. And I believe we're going to get to a time, friends, and I believe we're now there more than ever, where we're going to have to get back to the gospel. We're going to have to get back in the book and where it says, and these signs shall follow those that believe. The problem is we have gotten so far off track. We've created a gospel that doesn't even look like the gospel. We have a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. We're having church without the Holy Spirit. We're having services without the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no healing, no miracles, no signs and wonders, no deliverance. So you got a bunch of people coming up, showing up, getting entertained, getting their feelings all suppressed. They're suppressing things that they should be getting delivered of. They're coming in with demons on them, demons in them. They're coming in with bondages. They're coming in with addictions. They're coming in with infirmities. Sometimes they're coming in with the spirit of infirmity. But again, there's no atmosphere of deliverance. There's no signs and wonders in the place. Nobody believes in healings, miracles, and signs and wonders. And so they're coming in the same way. And they're leaving the same way, and there's no change, no transformation, no deliverance, come on, and no healing in their bodies. But listen to me well. Oh, what would happen if somebody got this word today, and they got into the Bible today, and they begin to read the word of the Lord today, where in which the apostles say, the preaching of our gospel came not by word only, but by demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost. What if we got back to that, friend? What if we got back to the point where we didn't, when the doctor gave us a negative report, we didn't lose our mind. We didn't lose our faith. We didn't throw in the towel. We didn't get depressed. We just said, you know what? God's got this. We believe. We stand on by his stripes. We are healed. We have a covenant with him. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord, our healer. He said that he would put none of these diseases upon me, which he allowed to come upon the Egyptians. Now, you say, why am I talking about this? Because there is some, in all the natural, in the natural, if you were to read this, this is very alarming. I'm just saying, from a natural perspective, if you did not have God, Listen to me. If you did not have God and you read this, this is pretty scary stuff. Here's the first report I want to talk about. Global cancer phenomenon. In my opinion, it's probably not a really a phenomenon. I'll get into that in just a minute. As much as possible without getting this taken down. But nevertheless, they're calling this a, quote, global cancer phenomenon. And it's not just America. We're seeing this in the United Kingdom, Japan, South Africa, and Australia. All of these are among dozens, not a dozen, but dozens of countries that are all suffering a mystery spike of all different kinds of tumors in young people. Between the years of 1990 and 2019, cases of cancer in young people has risen by 79%. That is an alarming number. According to the Daily Mail, doctors across the world are sounding the alarm over this surging epidemic of young people being diagnosed with cancers more commonly that are associated with the elderly. Studies project diagnosis will continue to rise by 31% and deaths will rise by 21% in 2030. Let me say that again. So in a six-year projection, they're saying that it's going to rise even higher, 31%, and deaths will rise by 21%. Wow. Nearly every continent in the world is experiencing an increase of various types of cancer in people under the age of 50 years of age, which is particularly problematic as the disease tends to be caught in later stages in this population because most doctors are not trained to look for it in young people. I'm going to highlight this. The disparities of rates and types of the disease are, quote, puzzling scientists, and have prompted some to kick off multi-decade research projects that will involve hundreds of thousands of people from around the world. Globally, Australia has seen the highest number of early onset cancer diagnoses in the world with a rate of 135 per 100,000 people. So listen, if we got any folks from down under that are listening, this is an alarming thing. Nearby New Zealand also has an alarming rate, 119 cases in people under 50 per 100,000. Now, I want to show you this chart. This is a map of the world and shows you the most prominent types of cancers. As you can see here, again, you guys will listen by Apple or by Spotify. I'll name these. 82, breast cancer. This is... you can see this. Look at America, guys. It's completely just inundated with breast cancer, prostate cancers, cervical cancer, lung cancers, colorectal cancer, liver cancer, stomach cancer, esophageal cancers. So the biggest rise here, it looks to be, is breast cancer and prostate cancers are exploding. Here's another chart, and it shows you male and female. Look at this chart from 1990. Look how low it was here. Everything was good. And then all of a sudden, we hit 2020. That's interesting. From 2020 above, look at the spikes and look at the projections from 2020. Look at the line. I'm not making this up, guys. You can see this right here. Can anybody think of anything that could be correlated with this that happened in 2020. Oh, for the life of me, I just can't put my finger on what could have happened in 2020 that may have had anything to do with that. The United States falls in sixth place on this chart with 87 per 100,000 people under the age of 50 years of age, and the UK takes the 28th spot with 70.5 cases per 100,000 people. When we put a spotlight on what we thought was the culprit of it, we were silenced, we were banned, we were deplatformed, shadow banned, completely ostracized, people lost their careers, and they were completely just, they were made to look like a laugh, they were made to be idiots, and they were made to be a laughing stock by their by the medical associations and whatever departments they were in, and et cetera. A particular concern is colon cancer among young people. Data has shown that the rate of cases among people ages 20 to 34 years of age have risen 40% from 2010 to 2020. And they're predicting it will rise 90%. Guys, that's a massive number. 90% in the next 6 years, by 2030. They're expecting approximately 53,000 people to die from this disease. And as we said earlier, around the world, breast cancer is the disease that's seen most commonly in dozens of countries, including the U.S., U.K., Canada, India, South Africa, Australia, and Mexico, which may be due to more accessible screenings. And then number three would be prostate cancer. All right, here's another report that I thought was very interesting. Quote, surging nervous system disorders are now a top cause of illness. Conditions affecting the nervous system, such as strokes, migraines, and dementia, have surged past heart disease to become the leading cause of ill health worldwide. A major new analysis said recently, wherein which more than 3.4 billion people, 43% of the global population, experienced a neurological condition in 2021. Interesting. Far more than had previously been thought. The study was carried out by hundreds of researchers led by the U.S.-based Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, which has become a global reference for health statistics. Lead study author Jamie, whatever his name is there, of the IHME said the results showed that nervous system conditions are now, quote, the world's leading cause of overall disease burden. Cases of these conditions have soared by 59% in the last three decades. According to the report, more than 11 million died from 37 neurological conditions in 2021. The most common neurological disorders were tension headaches and migraines. And then the quickest growing condition was nerve damage called diabetic neuropathy from soaring cases of diabetes. So again, weird stuff, guys. These things are just increasing. It's like, you know, the Bible talks about pestilences. If you look up the original Greek word, pestilence, it means it's a disease leading unto death. When we think of pestilences, we think of like a swarm of locusts or grasshoppers. But in the original Greek, it's literally talking about a disease which leads unto death. So this could be chalked up as pestilences. Here's another story. This is breaking news, came over the wire today as we're reporting this. CDC issued an alert over rising measles cases in the United States. According to this report, there has now been 58 measles cases in the U.S. this year alone, which is the same number as in all of 2023. So again, the CDC, the country's health agency, has warned doctors about an increase, look at that, in measles cases that in a little more than 3 months has equaled all of the cases of last year. Now, again, for the life of me, I can't figure out where this could come from. Can you guys help me out a little bit in the chat section here? Because it's just fleeted away. My thought process has just come to a standstill because I cannot think of where in the world and how this could be even happening. I mean, how can all these measles cases be exploding in the U.S.? Is there a common denominator somewhere? Am I missing something? Where could it all be coming from? Oh, and by the way, I know some of you, when we talked about this explosion of cancers among young people and how it consequently started around 2020, and we were trying to figure out what could be causing that. And I know some of you guys were thinking, oh, well, that's easy. That was the womp womp. That was the ouchy ouch that caused that. Well, not according to ABC News. No. Because according to ABC News, the ouchy ouch was found to cut the risk of heart failure and blood clots. Look at this right on your screen. ABC News. Come on, they've put all your fears to rest. you they're going to make sure that you can no longer ride that conspiracy train any longer, because according to a new study, the wah wah ouchie ouch has been discovered to cut the risk of heart failures and blood clots following the infection. So if you had the infection of the wah wah and you got the ouchie ouch, then you've just cut your risk of heart failures and blood clots. And who come up with this? Well, it was a new study published by the British Medical Journal. Who else? Now, guys, I can't even read all this. I'm just going to put this up on the screen if you want to look at this. But if I read this stuff, I'm telling you, the independent fact checkers, who hires them? Who do they work for? I don't know. But they will come out of the woodwork and they will be quick to shut it down, silence it, and it be no more, because for me, just simply reading this report. And by the way, I thought this was very interesting. A new study, look at this. Because you and I are so stupid and incapable of determining facts from fiction, that a new study now has come out to let us know that we're all stupid and ignorant. Let me just read it. Americans cannot tell the difference between facts and opinions. Let's just read. We've got to read this. With many people's judgments clouded by partisan bias, troubling new research finds many Americans struggle to distinguish facts from opinions in their 24-hour news cycles. Well, hold on now. What kind of news are they talking about? Because I thought most of their news stations were all parroting the same thing. I mean, from last time I checked, there was only like a handful of news stations that said anything contrary to the narrative. And those stations were removed from DirecTV. They're ousted from most cable networks. They're pretty much put down on the bottom. They're suppressed. And even those networks have sold out. So it's interesting to me that even with all of these mainstream media outlets parodying the same stuff over and over and over again, that they feel that they have to do a study to determine that we're all ignorant. Study authors from the University of Illinois say this worrisome trend, this is a worrisome trend. I mean, after all, the WEF said this was the number one threat, was disinformation. Did they not say that? This is a worrisome trend, and it potentially holds grave implications for civic discourse in the United States. There it is. We knew that was coming, right? Let me highlight that again. I want to pull this up. According to those authors at the University of Illinois, they say that we being ignorant and not being able to distinguish facts from opinions by watching our 24-hour news cycles, whatever that looks like and whatever that is, it is a, quote, worrisome trend potentially holding grave implications for civic discourse in the United States of America. On an individual level, this research suggests that the average American is ill-equipped. There it is. You're ill-equipped. You are incapable of navigating the nonstop wave of political information and possibly, here it is, misinformation that you receive on a daily basis. So which is it, guys? I'd like to ask these researchers, which 24-hour news stations are guilty of this? I wonder who they would put on the list there. You think it's going to be CNN? Probably not. You think it's going to be MSNBC? Probably not. You think it's going to be ABC, NBC, CBS? Probably not. It's probably not going to be on the top five. Quote, there's a huge amount of research on misinformation, but what we found is that even before we get to the stage of labeling something misinformation, oh, and don't worry, they will. They're all over it. But it's interesting because they didn't label the bloodbath statement misinformation. You know, the out of context speech that Trump made that every mainstream media news organization ran with and parroted the he's calling for this and he's calling for that.
But as Politico.com reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC.
Headlines calling it a, quote, bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf. That's really tough.
Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake. I mean, we can count the bodies.
As part of the, quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath.
Columnist Charles Blow has a new piece for the New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath. Bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
Oh, it's been a bloodbath.
Oh,
they're shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Oh,
head
goodness.
Off a bloodbath in next year's crucial midterm.
Oh. Off-year elections are often a bloodbath.
This week's bloodbath for Democrats.
A bloodbath at the ballot box.
There could be a Republican bloodbath.
They'll talk about a bloodbath.
It's a bloodbath. I have to talk about you. And
Elaine, it's going to be a bloodbath all day long.
Is in for a bloodbath.
Hasn't been a bloodbath on the way down.
Donald Trump bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath.
Predicted to be a bloodbath.
May not be the bloodbath.
It would be a bloodbath.
More of a bloodbath.
It's going to be a bloodbath in November.
Possible Biden bloodbath this November.
A bloodbath on Wall Street.
There's going to be a bloodbath.
In Alabama, into a bloodbath.
Obviously, there was a bloodbath.
It was a bloodbath. We're down 800 points.
This bloodbath at Department of Homeland Security.
And it's a bloodbath today.
There was going to be this bloodbath.
Election bloodbath.
It could be a bloodbath for them.
Bloodbath, possibly.
Former President Trump's campaign now on the defensive after his fiery rhetoric at a rally in Dayton, Ohio on Saturday night. Trump warning while discussing the economy that there would be a, quote, bloodbath if he is not reelected in November. This after the former president kicked off the event by paying tribute to those who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. President Biden's campaign swiftly denouncing those comments as threats of political violence.
But listen, if the shoe was on the other foot and Biden made that comment and a conservative network and all the conservative networks parroted that and spread all that out there, how fast you think the quote-unquote independent fact-checkers would be all over that and shutting you down? The double standards of this is absolutely profound. But what do I know? I'm just an ignorant, misinformed, illiterate nimwit that doesn't know and doesn't properly understand how to decipher between what is fact and what is fiction. Quote, we also see a lot of research on misinformation that comes at the problem from the angle of, quote, how are we doing in terms of playing whack-a-mole with misinformation? Are we able to fact check them and rebut these claims? Well, that isn't necessary. And that isn't necessarily a useful way of getting at the root cause of the problem. Well, how do we get to the root cause of all this misinformation? Well, let's read on. What they discovered was that people have trouble distinguishing factual claims from opinion. And they said that, quote, if we don't have this shared sense of reality, then standard journalistic fact-checking, which is more curative than preventative, is not going to be a productive way of defanging misinformation. Oh, and I love this. According to them, according to these researchers, they gave us four factors that help us to show us an association, with the modest improvements and success at differentiating between fact and opinion. Ready? Here it is. Number one, civics knowledge, current events knowledge, education, and cognitive ability. Let me say that again. Civics knowledge, current events knowledge, education, and cognitive ability. Now, none of those are influenced by any political party, right? None of those are altered by big tech. None of them are altered by our education departments. I mean, our education that we give our children, it's not biased at all, is it? It doesn't have an agenda. No. All right, guys, I gotta bring it back because listen, my blood pressure gets too high and it starts getting out of hand because it just infuriates me. Again, let me give you this verse of scripture. In the book of Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, there is two things here that are very problematic. One, it says that the people of God are destroyed from lack of knowledge, and two, because they reject knowledge. Let me say that again. They're destroyed from lack of knowledge and because they reject knowledge. So listen, guys, we got to get into the Word. The Bible is we have to get in the Word of God. We have to stand on that Word. We have to know that Word. And that's why I brought you to the scripture in Exodus before I got you all into this. Because there is, listen, we're seeing pestilences, we're seeing plagues, we're seeing diseases on the rise. Some of you, listen, you are, even though the mainstream media and these quote unquote researchers and all these people try to make us look like we are absolute buffoons. Listen, we know better. I love what the word of the Lord says in the book of Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, he says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring nothing to the things that are." So listen, you might have more degrees than a thermometer. You might be highly educated and you might ace all four of those points by those researchers and able to distinguish fact from fiction. But come on, if you're saved and full of the Holy Ghost, you've got someone on the inside of you called the Holy Spirit. And the last time I checked, he is able to distinguish what is right, what is wrong. He hears from the Father. He is able to show you things to come. He'll lead you into all truth. And I believe he is able to keep me and preserve me until I have completed and finished my course and my race. Come on, somebody. Do I got a witness in this place tonight? So listen, I come by to tell you today that, listen, I know these articles are despairing. I know this information is troubling, but come on, we're not to be dismayed. We're not to be troubled. Jesus said over 365 times, the word of the Lord says, "Fear not." He has given us precious promises. He's given us the word of the Lord. He says that I am your Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord, your healer. Somebody needs to know that today. You listen, the days of putting our confidence in an organization and in a substance or any of this stuff for our healing, our deliverance, our safety, our preservation. These things are over, friend. It is time for us to get back to who our whole source is and our only source is. And that is the Lord, our God. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Listen, I want to pray for you before we get off the air. But before we do that again, download our free app today, guys. This is how you keep up with our ministry. Listen, we don't know how long we're going to be able to remain on social media platforms like Rumble, like YouTube, and all these other ones, because they are, again, they have determined that we're ignorant and we don't know fact from fiction. So because we speak many times contrary to what to the mainstream media, what it tells us and what it says is truth, then it likes to silence us. We can't have an opinion, even though if we labeled opinion, like they said, just labeled opinion, and we can distinguish it, that's not good enough for these people. They don't want your voice out there. They want to suppress us. So listen, please download our app, get it today, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. If this ministry, equips you, encourages you, and edifies you, and informs you week after week after week, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. This is how we remain strong. This is how we continue to do what we do. You could do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way. Or through the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can give there. Or you can give by check or money order. And you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So again, I want to say thank you from all of us at End Time Headlines. We appreciate your generous support, your giving, your partnership of our ministry. For many of you guys, this is your home church. We love you guys. We appreciate you. We continue to pray for you. We're going to pray right now. If you're watching, you're listening by Apple, by Spotify, by Rumble, by YouTube. If you're sick in your body, come on, you have an infirmity, a weakness, an ailment. We're going to pray that God would extend his mercy and come on, his hand of healing upon your life. And then we're going to pray that God would preserve us and protect us, and that we would walk according, just like Exodus 15, that we would walk in his word, walk in his commandments, obey his statutes, and that he will, come on, keep all these diseases from us in Jesus' name. Come on, do you believe that today? Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I brought your word today. You said in Exodus 15, you're the Lord, our healer. God, I thank you that you're able to heal, you're able to deliver, and you're able to preserve. Father, I ask that you'd lift up every individual today under the sound of my voice that's watching, that's listening, that's live, that's by the rebroadcast of this. If they're sick in their body, they have infirmities, they have ailments, they have a diagnosis, they have a weakness, they have something that they can't explain, something that's been undiagnosed, something that they've been praying about, believing for, and that they're reaching out and they're in agreement today that they would get healed over this and healed of this. Father, we come today in the power of your word in Matthew 18:19. If any two shall agree in touching any one thing and have, come on earth, it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. So Father, we take authority over sickness, over infirmity, over disease. God, we command it to leave bodies. We command it to dry up. We command healing to flow in the name of Jesus right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you touch people's lives, touch people right where they're at, touch those that are watching live, touch those that are watching the rebroadcast of this. God, I thank you, Lord, that I pray that blood disorders, blood diseases, bone diseases, tumors, if you're listening today and you fall into that category of being young and being diagnosed with some type of a cancer, in the name of Jesus, I declare today that cancer is below the name of Jesus. I come to you today in the name that is above every name, the name that has been given to above every name in heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. I'm talking about the name of Jesus. The Bible says that he is above all these names. And we just speak the name of Jesus over that cancer. We curse that cancer. We curse those tumors. We curse those cancerous genes and cells in your body. And we command them to dry up. We command them to die and dissipate and come out in Jesus' name. We command blood to flow as it was created. We command bones to be whole. We thank you for tissue to be made whole. We command skin disorders to go and leave in Jesus' name. Neurological disorders. If you're falling that category, you have some kind of neurological disorders. You have neuropathy. You have mental disorders, dementia, Alzheimer's, bipolarism, schizophrenia. We command it to come out in Jesus' name. We command healing to flow in Jesus' name. May your mind be made right from this moment on in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Just believe it today. Receive it today. Maybe you're listening. Maybe you're watching today. And you say, oh my goodness, I didn't expect this. I thought I was just going to get information. No, well, come on. Some of y'all is getting far more than information. Some of you is getting liberation. You're getting liberated from sickness, infirmity, and disease and ailments. And it stops today. The Holy Ghost has interrupted this program today to bring you more than information. But he desires, come on. It's said of Jesus that he went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. I'm not Jesus. I'm not saying that today, but come on. The Bible says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and I and quickens our mortal body. The same Holy Spirit, come on, is alive and well today. And Jesus said in Mark 16, he said, these signs shall follow those that believe. He said, in my name, he said, they will cast out devils. They will heal the sick. Come on, the centurion came to Jesus and he said, you don't even have to step foot in my home and under my roof. He said, just speak the word only and it shall be done. We're just speaking the word of God today. We're just speaking the will of God today. And we're declaring and believing that God is having his way on this broadcast. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. And amen. Come on, somebody. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you guys. Again, don't forget to hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification. This is going to push this out to other individuals out there on the platform. We're going to sign off for tonight, but we'll be right back here in 2 days. We'll be off Wednesday, tomorrow night on the 20th. We'll be back 21st at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll have another great program lined up. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. God bless you guys. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.